Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey Rush Nation, what is going on? Welcome to the 5 Yard IDP pod with me, Nate Davis. Today we're be reviewing week 12 and getting you ready for week 13. It's going to be a bit different today, as again I've had family things and issues that I must concentrate on, so it's going to be a little bit hit and miss from me, but it's given me limited time to review the games. I watched quite a bit of it, but it's just getting those notes down. But Bren has been busy beavering away, so he has done his stuff. So we'll work through the five top matchups. Actually, it'll be six because I have got one that I've done. A couple with the general IDP chat, and I'm sure it'll be worth it. So how are you, Mr. Veal? You all right? Had a decent week?
We'll skirt around talking about our fantasy goings on over the weekend, shall we?
So, you done well. But you beat me twice.
I know. Well, I wasn't going to mention that, but I think checking, I won. The only league I didn't win in this weekend was our best ball IDP league, but I won in everything else. So,
mate.
Yeah, and I know we're not covering this game this week, but Shaq Barrett and Antoine Winfield did quite well for me this week, and there I was just. So people should have been stacking them last week.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was the call.
After I said I was done with the Bucks, and then they go and do that, I'm like, yeah, okay. Brilliant. But that's this season all over, folks. So what can you do?
Exactly. Doing our best. Exactly. Right. Before we go any further, hang on. Hello. There we go. This pod and others we do are supported by Manscaped. They are our sponsors. As you know, Manscaped are the market leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they have just released the Lawnmower 4.0, which is a fantastic bit of kit. One of the best things about it is the skin-safe technology, so you get no nicks on your bits, and you can receive 20% off with the code 5YARD at manscaped.com. Obviously, it's a brilliant Christmas gift as well, so you want to think about that. It really is a game changer in that area, and you're missing out if you don't have one. And as I said, you can get 20% off with the code 5yard at manscaped.com. It also comes with free worldwide shipping, so sort yourself out and get involved. Kikoki. So, yeah, as mentioned before, we could have kind of easily not have done it this week. It's been a bit tough, but to be honest with you guys, it's a nice distraction for me and something that, you know, I love doing. So yeah, I didn't want to not do it. And we are quickly running out of weeks. Seems to be absolutely flying by. So what we're going to do, we're going to review six games. I've got one, Bren's got five, and I'm going to comment on the games he reviews. We're just going to have a general chinwag. So let's go for it. So me, I'm going first, Thursday Night Football. Cowboys at Saints. So, well, COVID is absolutely sweeping through the Cowboys team at the moment, including their coach. So that's certainly not what they're going to need after the Thanksgiving loss to the Raiders. It wasn't a great week 12 IDP-wise, apart from, you know, Micah Parsons is lights out. He's all over the place. Keanu Neal, though, and Jaron Curse, they had great weeks. They had a great week, and no one else from that team got over 15 points. So they're the standout players for me this week. Keanu Neal and Jaron Curse. We all know about Parsons, so we're not really going to talk about him. Keanu Neal and Jaron Curse, they're both good pickups if you can at the moment. They both got good snap count, good tackle numbers, and they're both relevant in this game as well, I would say. Stats for Keanu Neal, 12 tackles and a tackle for a loss from week 12. He's handling an every down workload currently, and his tackle stats are good. Jaron Curse's stats in week 12, 11 tackles, tackle for a loss, and two pass defended. So 151 points on the year so far. He's ninth overall in the DB category and he's seventh in DB ranking for tackles. So it's the tackle floor that, you know, I've talked about it before. I like it in the secondary. I like to pick up players that have got a decent tackle floor. And Jaron Curse is one of those players. So pick him up. Over to the Saints. Bradley Roby top scored in week 12, but it's not really relevant for me. For the Saints, it was a big loss to the Bills for them, and it was a disappointing day pretty much all round for New Orleans. One sort of like good point probably is DeMario Davis getting back on track IDP wise. 10 tackles, tackle for a loss, so he's back amongst the points. The matchup. I picked the Saints last week against the Bills, stupidly. But I did say with the fact that if the running backs are out and it is a different kettle of fish. So, but I am going to go for him this week. I'm going to go for him because Dallas, I don't know, they won't want to be going to the Saints. Yeah, I see a decent night for the Dallas IDP, Dallas players IDP wise. I think still they're the way to go for the players to pick. So I would go Jaron Curse, like I've said, he's the one to pick up on this one. But I do fancy the Saints to win it.
Yeah. Brendel. Yeah, same here. Cowboys are again a bit indicative of what's going on this season. We seem to mention this every game, every other game. You know, I tipped Cowboys, you know, to beat the Raiders, although I wasn't surprised. To be honest, it's, you know, the Raiders are one of those sort of hit and miss teams. The Cowboys are getting a little bit that way as well, actually.
Yeah.
Sketchy about them. Good days and bad days. So, yeah, I think if the running game's back in play a bit more for the Saints this week, then, yeah, let's go with the Saints. Okay. Moving on to Sunday. So, the first one I've got the Colts at the Texans. Which I was actually going to skip over, and then I changed my mind, actually, because it could be quite good fun. Possibly not for Houston, but we'll see. So, Texans coming into the game off the back of a 21-14 loss to the Jets. They've dropped to 2-9. They've also got the second worst run defense in the league, so Jonathan Taylor's going to be licking his lips at this one. I mean, the Texans are pretty crap, and the Colts should win this game quite comfortably. So as I said, I was going to skip over it, but can I find any IDP value in the Texans defense? Well, yeah, I think I probably can. And as with a lot of teams that we're never 100% on, you know, it's not the DLs, it's not the DBs, it will be at linebacker for me. So assuming the game goes according to plan and the Colts run the hell out of the ball, the Texans defense is going to be busy, I think, regardless. We'd all agree on that. So if you have a look on a lot of the waiver wires, which I did yesterday, there's a good chance you're going to find the likes of a Zach Cunningham or a Kamu Grugar-Hill. They are definitely out there. And their numbers since the week 10 bye are actually quite impressive. So in the last 2 weeks, Zach Cunningham has racked up 43 points, pretty much all in tackles. So again, going back to what Nate's a big fan of, you know, that tackle floor. Grugar-Hill in the last 2 weeks has racked up a bit more. 49.5 points. Again, busy on the tackle front, so we like that. But he's also racked up the odd pick and a sack as well. Obviously, their game time in recent weeks has been helped by the injury to Christian Kirksey, who started the season well. He's still listed on IR, but he is eligible to return December 5th, I think, so this weekend. But whether he's going to be 100%, whether they want to risk him, I don't know. I don't think it's going to make any results, any difference to the results. I even think that, you know, the Texans coaching staff will be aware of that. So whether they feel like chancing it, if he's not 100%, probably not. And with Cunningham and Grugar-Hill, you know, playing well, actually, to be fair, maybe they don't need to. So if you are in need of a linebacker, have a look. I think they'll both be busy boys against the Colts this week. But I would just keep one eye on the Kirksey situation. As I said, you know, even if he is back and features, I'd still expect the other two to be involved fairly heavily. Moving over to the Colts. So they're going to be looking to bounce back from a defeat to the Bucks in a game that arguably they could have won. If it hadn't been for that silly fumble and they'd gone 17 points up, maybe the Bucks don't find a way back. So, but if you've got to go back, you know, if you've got to bounce back after a defeat, there are far worse places to go and do it than Houston at the moment. So, all the usual suspects are going to be in play for me against the Texans, especially at the front. Tyrod Taylor, you know, he's been sacked 11 times, bearing in mind that's just off 5 games. So, Darius Leonard, linebacker, had a monster game on Sunday, 27 points, mainly adding to his 93 tackles on the season. So again, we're back to that sort of tackle count. Bobby Okereke picked up 15 points. He's now on 101 tackles on the season. So DL, guy I've mentioned quite a few times, he always seems to be sort of involved in something when I turn on red zone. DeForest Buckner picked up another sack, 17.5 points. And I think the Texans could be a good matchup for Buckner. He did take a knock to his knee on Sunday, but he did come back. He's still got that Q floating over him when I looked on Sleep yesterday, but last Monday, it's just straight off the back of the weekend games. So everything would indicate he's going to be fine. And Kenny Moore at corner had a quiet game against the Bucks, but with 3 picks, 73 tackles this season. And again, against his offense, I would predict better numbers from him this week against a poor Texans offense. So I think it's a nailed on Colts win for me. You've got usual suspects with the Colts. Nothing, you know, I haven't found anything really that you can go out there and snap up if you're looking to plug any holes. But the IDP value, if you're looking for a linebacker, go out there and have a look at Cunningham and Grugar-Hill. But Colts win the game. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I totally agree with you. I can't see any difference. It's interesting, obviously the Jonathan Taylor usage is going to be through the roof, you would expect, against the Texans. So yeah, linebackers.
They stopped using him on Sunday, though. I think
they had
22, 23 snaps, and then all of a sudden they woke up and went, oh, give it to him, he's all right.
I think it was the Tampa thing, because the thing was, is they weren't, It was a strange old game. It was a good game to watch, but it was a strange game from, I mean, Taylor actually, he was low scoring pretty much all the way up to, what was it, late third quarter or something like that, where it started to push it on. But, you know, it's just that churning and, you know, against the Texans, you expect him to rack up the numbers. Wentz has got more weapons back available to him as well. It's looking good for the Colts, to be fair. It was a bit of a shame they blew it.
Especially the Titans score.
They are blowing leads. That's interesting. I mean, yeah, I know I watched Murph mention that they're the new Falcons, but I mean, I thought that's a bit harsh. But there we go.
They're not that bad.
Yeah, not a blowing lead. But as I said, the points are there from the linebacker core, Gruger Hill and what's his name, Cunningham. Yeah, I agree. I think
surprised how readily available they were.
Yeah, it was the Kirksey thing. Cunningham wasn't used for so much of the season. And, yeah. I mean, you're talking one of the top 10 linebackers scoring-wise from last season. I think actually Cunningham was right bang up there. But, yeah, strange. Anyway, so where are you going now? You're going Jets?
Right. No. Next on the roll call, I'm going to talk about the Dolphins. I skipped them.
Sorry, Giants and Dolphins. Yeah.
So, the Dolphins, we haven't spoken about for a couple of weeks, four-game win streak. And as I've been crying out for all season, they put it together on both sides of the ball. And they did it very well, actually. The offense was firing. Tua played well. Waddle and Gaskin played well. Waddle looks great after this.
Excellent.
Quick. He's so good after the catch on Sunday. I know this is getting a little off piece, but one of the major criticisms on some of the Miami forums, and I do try and take it with, there are some, special people out there. He doesn't go long. He doesn't air it out, but the game plan was such on Sunday. He didn't need to. He was throwing for something like 89, bordering on 90% pass accuracy on Sunday. Why? Because he didn't have to risk it. He didn't have to wear it out. He didn't have to look for deep shots. It was, sort of short to middle throws and let Waddle do the rest. I think he had 75 yards after the catch. Anyway, not here to talk about offense, but I'm a bit excited. We don't win many games. But talk about that, the defense was even better. Jalen Phillips had a monster day.
Top score overall, didn't he?
39.5 points, including 3 sacks. But what sleeper won't highlight, and I was driving back from London, so I've had to do some of the games off the highlights and a bit of reading up. But one thing I did read up on yesterday, which sleeper won't identify, Phillips brought QB pressure on almost 40% of his 27 snaps. He was causing absolute mayhem for that. For the QB. So I said back in the offseason when we covered the AFCs, Phillips was, he was a bit raw, but he had all the potential. But certain teams looked at him and went, will he put it all together? I think Sunday proves, against the Panthers, he's starting to look like the beast. I think Flores hoped he would become after they drafted him. So as I say, I skipped over the Dolphins game last week, week 12 preview, but obviously I'm not skipping them this week off the back of Sunday's Maul in the Panthers. But the other reason I've gone for it, I do quite like the matchup against the Giants. Last week against the Bucks, Daniel Jones looked a bit all over the shop. He looked better on Sunday, partly because the Eagles were having one of those alternate Sundays, as they tend to do. But the Giants seem to have sort of simplified things a bit for Daniel Jones. So I'm looking at, he wasn't airing it out too much. He was keeping it sort of short. But I'm looking at the DLs and the linebackers for the Dolphins defense to try and, if the Giants try and go with that game plan again, I'd like to see them try and replicate what they've done against the Ravens, for instance. I mean, they spoilt the Ravens game plan. They did that against the Panthers. Ravens are a better team, but looking at DL, I'm going to look at two pickups, and you can pick them up. I have mentioned before, if you've got holes to plug and COVID injuries, it is that time of year. Tackle Christian Wilkins and on the edge, Emmanuel Ogba. Both played well Sunday, picking up 16, 17 fantasy points respectively, and had a sack apiece as well. I think they're both going to be looking to rattle Jones as early in this game as possible, get him on the back foot, get him making mistakes. Another pair of players who have valid upsides in this sort of matchup Wilkins has better tackle numbers, you know, almost double Ogbers, but Ogbers, he's more inclined to get you those big plays. You know, he's got twice as many sacks on the season as Wilkins. So again, I think I mentioned it with, was it Hubbard and Hendrickson for the Bengals last week, the week before, you know, you've got that, you can play safe and go for Wilkins, Ogba may, you know, in a game like this, get you a couple of big plays. Jalen Phillips, we've already covered him. He's got to be relevant this Sunday. I don't see how you leave him out if you've got him on the roster after a performance like that. I'm not saying for 1 minute he's going to go near 40 points again. It would be nice, but it doesn't tend to happen week after week. But he's going to come into this matchup full of confidence. You know, and he's one of those nice flexible players listed at LB, but you can slot him in at DL if you want. So there's another upside to having him on your roster. Jerome Baker, linebacker, quiet day on Sunday, but he's still their top tackler. So again, you struggle to leave him out. I would swerve the Dolphins DBs this week. To be fair, I'm a little critical of Daniel Jones. He's not thrown too many picks this season. I think he will. They'll try and keep him playing safe and conservative a bit like they did against the Eagles. So unless he's absolutely got to, I don't see him going balls out and looking downfield until the latter stage of the game. Miami secondary. The problem with Miami secondary is they've shared the interceptions around. Again, looking at the numbers, Justin Coleman's got two. I don't think he'll be on many people's rosters. Nick Needham got in on the act on Sunday.
Yeah.
Pick. So there were three picks on Sunday, but all different players. So that he's not, you haven't got like a Diggs at the Cowboys or something like that. He's just, you know, he's picking up all the loose change in the backfield. So, I'd leave the Dolphins secondary alone this week. Giants. I'd have been inclined to offer the same advice about the Giants in this matchup. I mean, Tua hit, well, actually it wasn't an 87% completion rate, but he never had to force it downfield, as I've already touched on, so he can rely on Waddle and other players to be good after the snap. So I was going to say leave the Giants DBs alone. I'm going to make an exception in the case of Logan Ryan, who's back after COVID protocol this week. And, you know, he's 72 tackles. He's one of the highest tackling corners in the league this season. So there is a valid reason, you know, if you're going to make a case for any of the DBs in this matchup, it has to be Logan Ryan if you've got him on the roster. I mean, looking at his numbers, I'm pretty much guaranteed the guy gets double points, you know, he has scored double points every week since week two, or with the exception of week two, sorry. Linebacker, Tay Crowder, top tackler in, obviously, you know, the absence of Blake Martinez, 79. He had a decent Sunday, you know, 16 points. And then you got the likes of Ojulari, you know, he's the linebacker sort of sack leader with 5.5 at the moment. Actually, Ojulari's tied currently with their top DL, Leonard Williams, who we've mentioned numerous times. But he's also, you know, Leonard Williams is also their top tackling DL in the league. So with the exception of, you know, corner Logan Ryan, the value again, as with Miami, it's sort of in that front seven in around the sort of the DLs and linebackers. The problem is with the Giants, players I've highlighted, they're going to be on rosters more often than not. You're not going to be able to pick them up. So if you are looking for late pickups, then Ogba and Wilkins, I think, if you're looking to plug any holes in the DL. Summing the game up, both teams won on Sunday, but I think the Dolphins look better doing it on both sides of the ball. And I'm getting excited, I know, but I'm going to back them to go sort of five on the bounce. So, because I still think the Giants' defense is okay, but offensively, yeah, I think the Dolphins will have them. I hope.
Yeah, the one thing I'd like to highlight in that would be the safeties. So for me, I've got a thing about targeting the Dolphins, teams that play against the Dolphins, because I quite like, because as you said, the difference is with Tua, he doesn't tend to air it out. So your corners, and maybe not as in play is with other quarterbacks, but who is in play is your safeties, because your safeties trying to cover over the middle, especially, so your Logan Ryan, McKinney is another one you want to keep an eye on him this week.
He should have some decent
numbers, because those throws that Tua completes over the middle, it'll be tackle after tackle in that middle section. That's how That's how Tua will be looking at it as well, because he knows he's got the confidence to try and make those throws in that sort of like tight window. And they've been doing it. They've done really well. I thought it was really good, impressive against the Panthers. Really good.
Yeah, Panthers were... I mean, the Dolphins were good. I'm not doing them. The Panthers were... Yeah, they're a bit of a...
Yeah, it's just the Panthers has just got issue. I mean, Cam went off. He went, his head went, didn't it? At the end of the day, he started to just bomb out. I watched a couple of throws and he missed them by about like 20 yards over the top of some of that.
Yeah.
You're like, I might have a better chance at that. I
mean, they're still all right. They've still got the number one ranked pass defense in the league, to be fair. So, you know, it's not that bad at the Panthers, but yeah, just need to. Anyway, okay.
McCaffrey's. He's gone now, isn't he? He's out. He's done. Job done.
Yeah. I noticed a friend of ours tried to ploy me with a CMC trade.
He's trying to get rid of him every angle possible, which is crazy, isn't it? And I can't... Yeah. I know. I mean, anybody that CMC trades, ping him over at NATO NFL, at Brent NFL 66. Ping him over what trades you've had. requests from... Especially from Colin, no, from anybody, or trying to offload CMC. It's really quite interesting now what his actual value is. I'm gonna whack that it Rich and the Rich and Liam, the Dynasty guys, and talk to them about what actually his value is right now, because how long do you go? The kid's been picked up. How long do you pick him up first? I know we're going off topic, but it's great. No, it's a great topic. You know, you can't keep going. It's bollocks now. I've got him. I'm not even putting him top 10 now.
I think it's one of those things. He's been so good for so many people in fantasy for a length of time now. And I don't know whether there's some...
It's the past now, isn't it? Was it 3 years ago?
People have developed a bit of a weird emotional attachment. Yeah, they will start him. Look at what I did a few years ago with Le'Veon Bell.
You know, we don't want to talk about that. 101, McCaffrey. So. Crying out loud. Right, anyway.
Yeah.
Where are you going now? Chargers, Bengals. No, Jets at Eagles.
Jets at Eagles. Yeah.
Oh, why am I reading? I'm reading one down. It's the wine.
It's all right. I made sure I had it all written down because I went wrong last week and I got told off. So it's here. Look, see?
Mate.
Verbatim. Right. Jets at the Eagles. Jets might have a little bit of a problem this week. I think they'll look at that Eagles sort of poor passing game and the three picks Jalen Hurts threw. Thank you for that, Jalen, in our home league, but didn't hurt me too much. He threw three picks against the Giants. And, you know, I think they might look at it and think, well, if we stop the run then and force Hurts to throw, then we might be in with a shout in this game. The problem for the Jets at the moment is this. Although they are starting to play a bit better, I will give them that. They're currently ranked 27th in the league against the run. So can they stop the run? Well, okay, let's assume they do. They're currently ranked 29th against the pass. So you're not holding out an awful lot of hope of them actually putting a performance together defensively.
I worry for them in this one. I really do. I think it could be Eagles coming back with a little bit of vengeance against the a very poor Jets side at the moment.
So it's, but you know, you've got to look for the positives. Looking at some of the schools, I mean, John Franklin Myers had the game of the season on Sunday, 33.5 points, a couple of sacks and a pick. He's their joint sack leader with 6, along with sort of Quinn and Williams, who racked up 15 points on Sunday. Franklin Myers is on the waivers, but he's a gamble. He could be one of those players that people look at and go, God, he had a monster game. I'll have
week
him.
Week one, week two, we were banging on about him, and he's still he's still relevant now, and he's still exactly the same. He does get to the QB, so
yeah, it's one of those. I mean, if you've got, I'm going to state the bleeding obvious now. If you've got better options at DL, of course you'd start them. But he does have quiet weeks as well. So it's one of those. Looking at the matchup, it could be a good week for him. Actually, I'm going to sort of counter my own argument a little bit. You could, if you didn't have such a run heavy team, maybe if you didn't have a team that kept the ball on the ground as much as the Eagles are probably inclined to do, then you'd probably go with Quinn and Williams because his tackle numbers are better. But for that reason, you're not going to find him. You know, his numbers have been better, so you're not likely to find him on the waivers. So, go on.
Yeah, it's just going to be interesting on the run game from Philly, because obviously you've got the guys that keep it like straight up, straight down, straight through the middle runners. Miles Sanders is a bit more down the middle, but he's carrying a knock. If it's going to be Boston Scott, he's getting towards the edge. So slightly getting towards the edge. It's an interesting one for the Eagles. Exactly what you're going to, which way it's going to go. I don't know whether the linebackers are going to score that well from the Jets. It's not nailed on, but you'd still expect massive heavy run game, but it might be a lot of hurts.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, you're never sure what, I don't think a lot of defenses are sure what hurts is going to do half the time. I'm not sure the O-line is sure what it's going to do some of the time, but he's fun to watch. Nate's man, CJ Mosley, played okay on Sunday, 12 and a half points.
It's not my again, man anymore.
Ended
about week 10.
Yeah, it's Carl Duggar now. Sorry, we'll get on to him when I cover the Pats in a minute.
Can't wait.
Again, going back to what Nate said, depending on what they do with the run, I think this could be a fun game to watch, but I'm struggling a little bit to find. There are players that I like and have liked on the Jets sort of defense. Like we've touched on, they're going to keep the sort of, you know, try and keep the ball on the ground a bit. So again, looking at the DBs, the Eagles' passing game was poor on Sunday, but the Giants' defense aren't any mugs, to be fair. So whereas the Jets, as I've touched on, poor against the pass. So I don't know. I mean, unless there's anyone that sort of leaps out at you, I'm kind of a bit sketchy about the Jets. Individual players, I know they won and they are playing better as a unit, but...
Yeah, the issue is that they're bad, because like you said at the start, if you're bad at both things, then...
That takes talent. You know, that takes a lot of hard work to be that bad on both defenses.
But when you're looking at it from our point of view... If not either stand out to you, then you're like, okay, then it's like the Jets have a choice. I mean, I expect to see Devontae Smith, a heavy dose of him. I expect, because didn't Goddard got like nothing? Didn't he have like a big zero?
Dallas, week?
Goddard's numbers were zero. So expect that not to be the case this week. But, it's such a tough one because they're slightly banged up as well. Miles Sanders, I'm a big fan of his. I've got him, you know, I've got him. But he's such a good player. It's just the usage. I just feel they protect him so much. But then he does get injured. So why wouldn't you protect him? It's tough. But yeah, talking about the players from the Jets. Oh, Mosley.
And then your
central ones. So yeah, you're looking at probably Quinnen Williams. I wouldn't even bother with the edge. Myers might. It's difficult. Will Myers get to Hurts? Probably. Maybe not. Don't know. He's a difficult one. Jalen Hurts escapes the pocket quite a lot. Therefore, do you think Myers is going to chase him down, or do you think the likelihood is the run game goes straight down the middle, and then it'll be Quinnen Williams picking up quite a lot of tackles, and then if they break the first, then it'll be Mosley, bang.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, they've got, you know, there's a few, you're not sure how that Eagles run game is necessarily going to, especially, as I said, if it's Hurts, but...
Mosley's not my man as well, because you said that as well. I don't think Mosley's very good. You know that, don't you?
No, he's not very good. He did get mentioned quite a bit earlier in the season.
He does rack up tackles. That's the thing. I just need to clarify that. Especially for Rich or any of the Jets fans who think that I'm not a fan.
I'm going to move on to the Eagles, folks, because I've touched the nerve. Hang on.
Go on,
second week on the bank, so I got in trouble. Eagles, another team has that sort of good week, bad week dilemma. And at the moment, they're a pain in the ass to predict. When this defense fires, it's good. You know, it has been good. And despite how erratic they've been in this sort of, you know, they're currently 5-7 on the season so far. On its day, it's still a good pass defense. It's still ranked top 10 you know, defensively against the run in the last three games, so they have been better. Linebackers are still at the heart of most of the good things Philly do defensively. Looking at the numbers, I mean, Singleton picked up 31 points on Sunday, so he's someone I would have a look at. Again, coming back to the tackle count, that takes him over the 100 mark for this season. He's on 102. TJ Edwards had quite a game, but he's still a tackle-heavy option with 84 tackles on the season. And for me, they're still, you know, must-picks in most matchups because of the tackle numbers.
Yeah.
Despite the win over the Texans, Zach Wilson did not impress. He still looks a bit all over the shop for me. So with that in mind, I would highlight a couple of Eagles players that you could look to pick up. Someone we've mentioned before, He's gone a bit quiet in the DL, Javon Hargrave. Had a great start to the season, then dropped off a bit over recent weeks, but picked up 13.5 points against the Giants and is still the Eagles' sort of sack leader on the season with 7. And Wilson, to be fair, has 23 sacks off 7 games this season, so that's why I would possibly identify someone like Javon Hargrave. He's also got 10 picks out of those 7 games. So if you're looking for something at DB, Darius Slay, okay, he's only got 3 picks on the season. But if he's going to add to it, and if you are short on DBs, this is probably a matchup where he's got a good chance of adding to it, I would argue. He's also scored well prior to the Giants game. He had a bit of a drop-off, but he scored well against the Broncos and the Saints with IDP touchdowns in both games prior to last Sunday. Nathan's already mentioned it, and I think he's spot on. I think the Eagles win it. I think they will be better against the pass, partly because the Jets passing defense is so bad. And I just think this Jets defense will struggle against Hurts mobility. So even if Sanders is injured still. So but I've been wrong about the Eagles before. So
yeah, just to talk about the linebackers, the Eagles. I'm a massive TJ Edwards fan. But that is strange that Singleton's back in the mix as much as he is. Maybe he was carrying a knock. I don't know. But you know, the weeks that TJ Edwards has really gone off and like dominated the snap count.
Yeah.
Davion Taylor as well. The other linebacker.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
he takes a fair whack as well. So it's an interesting one with the Eagles. I thought that TJ Edwards had it all in the bag. I thought he was going to be the guy, and I still hope that he will be. But yeah, you know, the whole Sirianni's just decent. So you know, for me, I'm behind the Eagles anyway at this moment in time. So I just. It's just an interesting one, especially for next season. Just to see who the main guy at linebacker is going to be, because I think that I do think that's up in the air at the moment. So, from an IDP perspective, if you were looking at players to pick up at linebacker, I don't know where you'd go for next season in mind. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like next year.
I think the team as a whole are.
Yeah,
they're very much in transition. I think they'll be looking to what they'll do in the draft. I think will be interesting.
But we still don't know whether it's Hurts' job.
No. I mean, I up here because I've sort of put him in our home league as my. But then
Deshaun,
I've still got
Deshaun baby. Deshaun baby.
We got through several weeks without mentioning that guy's name, haven't we? But I'm sure it'll become relevant again sooner rather than later. But yeah, so you're going Eagles on this one as well, then?
Absolutely.
Okay, right. 2 more to cover.
Chargers.
So last one for Sunday that we're looking at, Chargers at the Bengals. So yeah, I've touched on it a bit with the Eagles. Oh, the Chargers at the moment, honestly. Good week, bad, literally good week, bad week, if you look at the last 4 weeks. And they were in sort of bad week mode again in the 28-13 loss to the Broncos. Their defense is kind of the same. If you're talking about teams that are a bit of a flip-flop side, for want of a better description, worst run defense in the league, but top 5 on pass. So, you know, with the form Joe Mixon is in, the Bengals will be looking to pound the hell out of this, I would say, on Sunday, and try and keep sort of Burrows from having to sort of, you know, air it out too much against a, you know, what is still a good pass defense. Who to play for the Chargers? Joey Bosa, 14.5 points on Sunday, and still their sack leader. No, Nate's got feelings about sort of, well, has had sort of opinions on Joey Bosa. It's one of those meh players. Doing James at safety.
Monster Legend.
Sunday, 27.5 points. And just because I expect a lot of Bengals running plays, don't worry about playing a DB like James, because, you know, Nate mentioned it with certain players in that position who will step up and get involved in a game like this. You know, he is on 93 tackles for the season. Yeah. So there's no reason not to, well, you would play him looking at his numbers from Sunday and the tackle count on the season. Same thing with Kazir White, at linebacker, decent Sunday with 16 points. And again, 86 tackles on the season. So again, we're back to that tackle count. That
he's
tackle
the guy now for me.
What, the standout LB?
Yeah. I think he's got the job really at this moment in time.
Well, it's hard to argue with his numbers so far.
Great in coverage, and that adds to that pass defense.
Yeah. So I expect this Chargers defense to be... I do expect them to be on the field a lot this week, partly because of their own issues on offense, as much as anything. But it should mean, as always, defense is, you know, seen a lot of snaps, and there's IDP points to be had. A couple of outside waiver picks. I know Nate doesn't like this guy. I'm very... But again, so these are... Some of these picks are a little bit left field. Partly because of where we are in the season, injuries racking up. So, safety, Nasir Adderley. He has got 61 tackles in 9 games this season. But my issue with Adderley is he hasn't produced a big play, I don't think, this season. So, you're not going to see much in the way of... you know, sort of picks or anything like that. But, you know, his tackle numbers aren't too bad. Also, if you're short of DL, have a look at tackle Linval Joseph. He's coming back this week off the back of COVID protocol. He's got 43 tackles off 9 games, which for DL isn't too shabby at all. And he might have just sort of snuck under the radar. Again, I am looking at these players quite, you know, as, yeah, not going to be on a lot of rosters for various reasons, but if you have got injuries, especially in bigger leagues, or, you know, you've been hit with COVID issues, then you might want to have a look at them. Bengals, almost the polar opposite of the Chargers in terms of defense numbers this season, because I've spent a bit of time looking at where various teams ranked this weekend. Fourth best defense against the run, but 25th against the pass. So you've got it's quite an interesting matchup from the defenses from that perspective, because they both do one thing as opposed to the Jets, who do two things very badly. They've both got positive sides to their defenses. But I'm not overly concerned about the pass defense this week, because the pass protection for Justin Herbert on Sunday was just awful again. So I'm kind of all in on the Bengals, DLs and linebackers this week against the Chargers offense. It's a front seven we've liked in recent weeks anyway. Logan Wilson, 89 tackles from the season, good for the odd pick. Herbert's into double figures on interceptions for the season. So DL, it's the usual pairing, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson. They've got racked up 17.5 sacks this season between them. DB, I know we've touched on the safeties. I'm not actually looking at the safeties. I know a lot of people have Jesse Bates on their roster, but he hasn't scored well, particularly well since week 8, going back through the numbers. He'll probably go for 30 points this season, Sunday. But no, just joking, he just seems to have, he's not been especially busy in the last few weeks. So instead, I'm highlighting the corners. Because if the Bengals run, you know, if the Bengals run defense can slow, you know, Eckler down et al., and start to bring some pressure on Herbert, like Denver did, get him thrown off the back foot, you know, flapping a little bit, I think they could be a good punt. And they both seem to, you know, the two I've highlighted both seem to be readily available on waivers. Mike Hilton coming off the back of 20 points, including that pick six. Maybe a few people might have snapped him up already off the back of that. Bit more out of left field, and I've picked a few, a little more sort of random. Eli Apple, double figures in IDP last 2 weeks, and he's had a couple of picks. So again, partly because it's just the Herbert factor, and it just seems a bit... but again, he's kind of one of those sort of last resort, not last resort pickup, but he's not going to be first choice. You take Hilton, basically. But Bengals to win the game for me.
Love it.
I think they're better on both sides of the ball at the moment. And Chargers still got problems on offense. So, as I say, but you've got to be all in, I think, this week on that. You know, that I think front seven of the Bengals.
This would be the one where I'd highlight it going, this is the big scoring game. I think it could be a cracker, this one. But saying that, like you said, the matchup, when you look at it, you think to yourself, well, the Bengals should run the ball. Just run the ball. But, you know, they don't, they'll still throw caution to the wind anyway. They will. They'll do exactly what they do. I mean, they've got good wide receivers. So, again, it's going to be, I think it'd be a real good matchup. Be a real interesting, interesting game.
The Bengals are going to be, I mean, they're flying high after that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just decimated the Steelers, and they haven't done that since, what, the 80s, I think. So.
You just get that feel that they're just a little bit, you know, boom or bust kind of, like, you know what I mean? Where if it doesn't go quite well for Burrow at the start, then it might just tail off. But
I think they will
really
be helped.
Good,
I mean, they've got that, the Mixon option, which maybe they didn't have earlier in the season. He was there, but it's the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks.
But for me, it's like the Bengals game. I remember that. Bang. That was unbelievable, where they absolutely ripped into him. That was just incredible to watch. But again, last week, exactly the same kind of thing, where you went, wow. Well, they fall back down to, back down to earth against the Chargers. Is that
the way this season
is going?
It's a
tough one.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise anyone.
So. I love it though. That game's the one for me. Well, not the one, because the one that I've got my eye on is coming up, but not for for entertainment value, for scoring. I reckon that's the game for me. Chargers at Bengals.
Could be a basketball score.
But the next one, let's go. I'm going Bengals. I'm going to go Bengals.
Okay. So you sure you want me to do this one? I was going to, I'd nearly skip this one, to be honest.
You are
right.
Joking.
Right, Monday. No, of course not. We're going to finish off with Monday night and the small matter of an AFC clash between the Pats and the Bills. Okay. Pats are back on top of the AFC East. 8-4. Bills at 7-4. The Bills did manage to get things back on track. Thursday's win over the Saints. But can they stop this Pats team? You know, they're on a 6-game win streak. Well, if they are, I think it has to come from the front and the linebackers initially for me. They still have a run defense, which is, top five in the league. And if they can shut down the Pats' ground game, then, they can turn it over to the second best pass defense in the league. So this is a team that does both things well on defense, if you look at the stats. But key players on the Bills, three of them, they're not going to come as any massive surprises, I don't think, to anyone. At linebacker, Mr. Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. Milano, I've been so pleased this season with him, really, because the one thing we did say back in the summer, he's a great player, but he's a gamble. He has, for the most part, stayed fit, and that's been a massive plus for the Bills. Edmonds still leads on the tackle chart for the Bills with 63. Didn't do too much against the Saints, but he's just back after a couple of games out with a hamstring injury. So, just feeling his way back in, maybe taking it a bit easy. Matt Milano has scored consistently well in IDP over the last 3 weeks. His numbers have been pretty reliable. And finally, I'm looking at safety Jordan Poyer, to be honest. He's their pick leader with five, but Mac Jones isn't—he's not a sloppy rookie with the ball in hand. So yeah, I wouldn't play Poyer banking on him getting you a big play or an interception. I would pick him because he has decent tackle numbers. So you're looking at starting a safety Sunday who, you know, he has got good tackle numbers, and yeah, he could get you a pick. But as I said, Mac Jones, he's pretty reliable in that area. Right, I'm going to talk rather enthusiastically, God help me, about the New England Patriots. Nate called it last week, the Pats Pats win over the Titans. The Titans always find a way to win. But whilst the result didn't surprise me, the scoreline, the 36-13 scoreline did surprise me a little bit. I know the Titans are pretty banged up at the moment, but now they're back on top of the division. They are going to be tough to shift. I expect this defense to bring all kinds of pressure on Josh Allen this game, force him out of his comfort zone. I'm sure Belichick's got, you know, various different sort of looks he's going to show him. So try and rattle Allen nice and early. So let's start with a couple of Pats players who you can pick up on the waivers, actually, if you do a bit of shopping around, and have been in good form for the last 3 weeks. Juwan Bentley, 24.5 points against the Titans. And he's just behind our favourite Pats player this season, Kyle Duggar. He was obviously a no-brainer. Also, you're looking at the ex-Dolphin one season, Kyle Van Noy. 17.5 points on Sunday, 45.5 points in week 11, 20.5 points in week 10. And as I say, he's still out there on a lot of waivers. He has been quite a busy boy with his, you know, tackle numbers and a few big plays thrown in as well. So there's a couple there that, you know, you could look at. We've touched on Kyle Duggar, he's a no-brainer. You've got your sack leader, Matt Judon, on 11.5 points for the season. Then there's the guy I encourage people to go and grab earlier in the season whilst he was on the waivers, because he was earlier in the season, JC Jackson. Yeah. Another pick. He's playing so well at the moment. I really like watching him play. Another pick and 15 points on Sunday, 7 picks on the season. But unfortunately, good luck finding him on the waivers now after the last few weeks. So I think the Pats defense, someone said it this morning on one of the pods I was listening to. I mean, they summed it up. This Pats defense is playing nasty. You know, they just find, it's almost like they wait until halftime and they've sussed the team out and they just go get them. They're playing so well on defense at the moment. And it's the way they're playing on defense at the moment. The reason I've highlighted, you know, quite a few players, and obviously some of them are no-brainers, but, you know, the likes of sort of Bentley and Kyle Van Noy, you know, racking up those sort of numbers. The matchups almost seem to be irrelevant. It doesn't, in a weird way, it doesn't, I know this is, you know, you play the players I've highlighted, you know, every week at the moment, the way this defense is performing. Even in a matchup like this, you could make a case for, you know, well, yeah, I know it's the Bills, I know it's a crucial game, but you could get away with stacking a couple of those, you know, those players. So, you know, I mean, yes, it's a tough matchup, but, you know, Christ, the Titans were number one seed all of 5 minutes ago, and they just seem to, I know the Titans had a few injuries, but, I know the Bills got back on track, but Josh Allen's hardly been perfect for me this season. I think the Bills need to win this game, but I think the Pats probably will.
Wow.
It is painful because I am watching this team going, they're doing very New England Pats things. You know, they'll pound the ball. They've got the defense is you know, just figuring teams out and really sort of putting their foot down in the second half. Mac Jones has looked by far and away the best rookie QB. They're just a bloody good team at the moment. It's really depressing.
They are a bloody good team.
You just can't argue with the results and the numbers. And I think they win it. Yeah,
I am absolutely in love with them. I am in love with that D, and it is just, I mean, seriously, at this moment in time, I look on this result, if it doesn't go to plan, I just hope that it just is one of those things, just blip, just strike it off, because it might not go to plan. It's a real tough game. I don't know what to call it, but I'm going to post something out on Twitter. Your best five-a-side team, IDP-wise, your best IDP five-a-side team. Now, I'll tell you what, this is where the Pats, and you nailed it when you said, I don't know it, what they do, whether it's the run, the pass, whatever, they're good about against it all, so therefore, it doesn't really matter on the matchup. Somebody in this team's going to deliver. Maybe probably two, three, four of them. So, like, you'd have Judon and Van Noy on your edge, right? Bentley in the middle. JC Jackson and Carl Duggar. I think that is just, man, that's just electric. That is at this moment in time. It's just absolutely humming. Now, it's just the matchup. I'm just a little bit worried about it. I am just a bit worried about it.
A bit like Nace, and surprisingly, as a Finns fan, but you just can't help but be. But I am not. I fancy them to win it. I don't. It's not going to be a walk in the park. This is a toss of the coin, really. If you wanted to talk predictions, this is still a very, very capable, good Bills team on both sides.
Yeah. So, I think they're going to struggle. Where what's interesting offensively wise with the Pats at this moment. The Bolden factor is a big deal. I think the having somebody that does that short pass out the backfield is doing well. Hunter Henry also over the middle, that seems to be just humming a lot. And also with what's the other tight end, the guy from the Titans, last year, scored loads of points. I don't know. But anyway, two big money tight ends they bought this year. But both of them are working sort of semi in tandem on different plays and particularly doing quite well. I think it's really interesting. Bills, yeah, I think the Bills are going to struggle with the variety that the Pats have got now. Because the Bills are one of those teams at this moment in time that are, you think they're brilliant, but they are at their particular game. So once you can't stop them, they destroy you, but they've got a particular way of doing it. And for me, the minute that you break that, and I think the Pats might. So yeah, I'm going Pat. I'll go Pats as well.
I'll tell you what,
but it could be a bit hard, really.
What would be really nice would be a draw.
A draw.
And then
0-0.
And yeah, 0-0 after overtime. I'll take that. And then we beat the Giants and then we're on a bye. And I think we got the Jets after that. I mean, we could go into Christmas 7-7. We're still in the mix. If you believe that.
Fine.
The eternal optimism of a Dolphins fan, ladies and gents. It's all I've got.
After that, we've got to shut this down. After that, that's it. Yeah, that's horrendous.
It's lost the plot. Time for a nap.
Right, so that's it for us, guys. Thanks very much. I'm off to go and get my Pat shirt with Duggar 23 on the back. Have a great week.
I wouldn't put it past him, folks.
No. I will. I love that.
Cheers, guys. We'll see you next week. Guys.
Yeah, have a great week, 13 people, and we will see you next week. So good night and keep rushing.
Take care.
Cheers.
redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.